Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Faith in the bodily resurrection of believers from the grave is reasonable, necessary, and invigorating. And that's what Paul is showing us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we move further and further along in this great resurrection chapter. Paul begins by emphasizing the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, a fact that has been thoroughly attested to, and Paul gives a lot of the evidences for that, particularly eyewitness participants who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. And then he shows how that the resurrection of believers from the grave is connected to Christ's resurrection, is necessitated by Christ's resurrection, and is perfectly reasonable when we consider what else God has done in this universe. It's not that we look at something like the resurrection and say, I don't see how that could happen, thinking in terms of what man is able to do. But we should look at the resurrection of believers and what the Bible tells us about it and say, well, that doesn't seem so unreasonable considering what God has already done. Obviously, God can do it. It's not theoretical that God is able to do something like that, but it is very believable because of the things that he has already done that are so obviously evidences of his creative power and his creative complexity, his creative genius in the various ways that God is able to handle these matters. And so that's what we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll be continuing on the broadcast today on this Monday, June 27. Thankful that the Lord allowed us to gather together around the Word of God by means of this radio station once again, and thankful for those of you whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, I'm going to read verses 35 through 41, the ones we have already covered, and then we'll pick it up from there. But, verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So, Paul directs our thinking towards several areas. The world of agriculture, the world of zoology, that is, of animals, the world of astronomy, heavenly bodies, and shows us how God creates such an amazing variety of bodies and everyone suitable for its purpose, and that God does the same thing in the resurrection of believers from the grave. We go into the grave in a perishable body. like the seed that's sown in the ground, and it decays, and we come out of the grave with an imperishable body, a glorified body, like that glorious plant that comes out of the seed that perished in the ground. And these are analogies, of course, but he goes through several of them that make us realize that it's not unreasonable at all to believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. And so we then come to some clarifications in verses 42 through 44, and now I read those verses. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. So also opens this three-verse section in similar fashion to what we have just examined in the world of agriculture and zoology and astronomy. In similar fashion, God has designed the resurrection body, just like God has designed the bodies of animals in great variety, but each one suited for its purpose, just like God has designed the planets and the stars in the starry sky above, each one different from the others, everyone unique in some way, and yet similar also to one another in other ways, but perfectly suited for the purpose that God had for them. And just like in agriculture, God creates a suitable plant to produce the seed that then goes in the ground and dies and produces another plant and so forth. God, in similar fashion, has designed two bodies for his people. The one an earthly body, the other a heavenly body. The one a body that is designed to die and decay, but another one that is designed to live forever. One that is designed for the environment upon earth, the other that is designed for the environment in heaven. So God does these things. We see how he does something similar in the world all around us. And in similar fashion, God has designed a resurrection body for his people to suit them for their eternal abode. And so he talks about this in terms of our bodies are sown perishable, but raised imperishable. That's verse 42. They are sown in dishonor. They are raised in glory. They are sown in weakness. They are raised in power. They are sown a natural body. They are raised a spiritual body. Let's go back over those again. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. The body is sown in corruption, or it is sown to perish. That's what it was designed to do, to live not forever upon the earth. God has something better in store in another place, not to live forever here upon the earth, but a body that is suitable for the time that God wants us to live upon the earth, and then it goes into the ground, and it perishes. It is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. So bodies, human bodies, like seeds, are sown and then raised. And that's what we testify to when we gather around the casket of the body of a departed loved one in the cemetery, the body of a believer, and what do? We plant that body. We sow that body. It is sown in corruption, but we do so with the certainty, the assurance from the Word of God that that body is going to be raised incorruptible. So it is sown perishable and raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory, verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. That's repeating what I just said, because that's exactly what the first part of verse 43 says. Yes, death is a very, in many ways, a very dishonorable thing. It's a reminder of the weakness of the flesh. The older we grow, the more frail we become, the more dependent upon others we become, the more fragile our body becomes, until eventually it just fails altogether. That's a form of dishonor, isn't it? It's very humiliating what happens to us as our bodies age. We don't like that. We want to be young forever, but that's not God's design. We want to be strong forever, but that's not God's design. The body is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It'll come out of that grave with all of the things that we cherish for our physical bodies in this life, but never quite attain to, even in the best of times, the best of our years, the best of conditions. There are always problems with our earthly body, these bodies of flesh, these bodies that are part of the Adamic race. But, dear friend, the body that's coming out of the grave, that's going to be a different one. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. And the verse goes on to say, it is sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in weakness. No disagreement with that. Raised in power. Raised in the opposite of weakness. Our physical bodies are weak, and they grow weaker and weaker and weaker, and then eventually they go in the grave, and of course they're dead, and they go in the grave, and they decay, they perish. The dishonor becomes reaches its ultimate state of dishonor when it decays in the grave. But it'll be sown in power. What a body's coming out of that grave. What an imperishable body, a glorious body, a powerful body. And then finally he goes on to verse 44 to say, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a supernatural body. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. It is sown a natural body, that is, according to human nature, suited to this realm, the kind of body that all of us are familiar with, because that's what we've got, because that's what God gave us, because that's what's suitable to this present environment. But it will be raised a spiritual body. What does that mean? A body suited to the realm of the Spirit. The natural body is suited to the realm of this earth, this present earthly existence, but it's going to be raised a spiritual body suited to the realm of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that the body won't have substance. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a spirit, that it's going to be like a ghost, that it'll have no substance to it, that it's going to be a wisp of fog or smoke or something. No, that's not what a spiritual body is. A natural body is a body suited to the natural realm here upon the earth now. A spiritual body is suited to the realm of the Spirit, which is, of course, our eternal abode in heaven. And that's what God is doing, and that's what the resurrection of our bodies will be like. What a glorious day is coming, and we look forward to that day. We'll take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.